to go back tonight. Let's turn back over to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 3. John was quite a man, wasn't he? Be able to be exiled on the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God and for his testimony. And yet be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and in a spirit where he could see Christ. In a spirit where he could see Christ's church. In a spirit where even God showed him the Antichrist and all that's coming upon the world. Showed him the marriage of the Lamb and showed him the great white throne judgment. And showed him that New Jerusalem, that holy city, coming down from God out of heaven. And what always amazes me is after God showed him all that, John said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And that was, you know, I guess Solomon, he said when he got to the end of, which book was that? Ecclesiastes. When he got over to the book of end of the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, "Let us hear, therefore, hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us fear God and keep his commandments." And John, when he gets to the end of his book, he said, "Let us hear this conclusion. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing to know. And I didn't really even realize that, but that's going to go right hand in hand with the message tonight. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, the Bible said, "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works," and I hope that you'll just underline that in your Bible when you run across it. "I know thy works." He knows. Man, he knows. I told my wife today, coming to church, I said, "Honey," I said, "we've seen this before. It may not be the people that we're visiting. It may not be the people that we're inviting. Some of them will come. But I tell you, God's ascending them. God honors obedience. He always has, and he always will. If we'll just continue to work for the Lord." And by the way, there's a better way to put that, to work with the Lord. Boy, if you get a hold of that, amen, not just work for him, but work with him, amen. It'd be one thing to work for my dad. It'd be another thing to work with my dad. Amen. Labors together with God. The Bible said, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." That's a sad state of affairs. In verse 17, he said, "Because," here's the reason, he said, "because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art poor," or "thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Now, tonight in the message, we're going to pick up in verse 18. He said, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be back. And thank you for the privilege to stand, Lord. Lord, here in this place one more time. God, I'm excited about what you're doing. God, it thrills me just to see you work in our midst. Lord, it amazes me that the likes of you would and could use the likes of us. God, I pray that, Lord, that we would, Lord, just go on. We know that you know our works. And God, we pray that we could be found faithful. God, that we could just ever stay by the stuff. God, that you'd just continue to keep your hand upon the precious people of our church, the families. God, many tonight are, Lord, hurting. And I pray, God, tonight that you would help them. Many tonight, Lord, need a touch. Many, Lord, tonight need to be saved. God, I just pray tonight, Lord, whatever the need, God, the need would be met. God, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. And amen and amen. I don't believe I'll be before you long tonight, but I want to give you what the Lord's given me in this passage of Scripture. This morning, we looked at the condition. God wanted us to anoint our eyes with eye salve. That's what he said to the church at Laodicea. How many knows that the mirror is the hardest place to look? Amen. I'm talking about spiritually. And when you're as ugly as I am, physically too. Amen. But spiritually, it's the hardest place in the world to look. Anybody know where the mirror is spiritually? Anybody know where the mirror is? God told us. It's right here. The mirror of His Word. You look into the mirror of His Word. And I said this morning, and I still believe it's true, that none of us are as spiritual as sometimes we think we are. Amen. The mirror tells the story. Amen. I believe when God said, I know thy works, I believe, you know, we could say, well, praise the Lord, He knows our works. But we might ought to just check up on those works as well. He knows our condition. We need to, if we're going to see a real revival, we need to see our condition. And we looked at that this morning. I'm not going to go back over that. But tonight, there's two more things that I believe in the text that God wants us to see, that we, if we would anoint our eyes with eye salve, if the Spirit of God would touch our eyes, not only would we see our condition, what would it be like? You remember the prodigal son? He saw his condition, didn't he? He came to himself, didn't he? Amen. Can I say this to you? I believe this. I believe he came to himself, but he didn't come to himself by himself. Does that make any sense? I believe the Lord visited with him down there in the pig pen and reminded him, amen, reminded him of a father, reminded him that somebody cared about him. I believe that father was praying for him. And I believe God reminded that prodigal son of that. We see our condition, but tonight, I believe secondly, in this message tonight and in this text, God would have us to see our counselor. You say, preacher, what do you mean? How many remembers the text over there in the book of Isaiah? He should be called the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's also called our counselor. He's a wonderful counselor tonight. Did you know that I was all the way through school before I discovered what a guidance counselor was? I mean, I'd already graduated, amen. I thought that was somebody that the nuts went to talk to. Say amen. I didn't figure I needed any of that counseling, amen. I didn't know. I was ignorant. Why would you go in behind a door where it says guidance counselor? Amen. I never could figure that out. I was already out of school before I figured out what a guidance counselor was. Somebody told me. But I'll tell you something right now. When I was 27 years old, I met me a guidance counselor. He's been a guiding me ever since. Amen. I tell you, he's the one that knows the way. The Bible said the Lord knoweth the way that I take. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let me give you some things tonight. Look in verse number 4. back up in verse number, Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 4. Watch this now. In verse number 4, I believe it's verse 14. Revelation 3 and verse 14. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. Now watch this. The faithful and true witness. Here's what I want you to understand tonight. Our counselor tonight is faithful. Our counselor tonight is true. Amen. I believe that all of us would be much better off if we'd get back to Mary's advice at the marriage in the Cana of Galilee, at the wedding there, when she looked at those servants and said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Amen. I tell you, that's what revival's about. Amen. Just whatever God tells you to do this week, just do it. You say, preacher, what about it? Well, it may not make sense, but do it anyway. Amen. I believe God can help us if we'll let Jesus and the Holy Ghost and the Word of God be our counselor. The Bible said He's the faithful and the true witness. We need to see our counselor. We'll give you a couple things right quickly about this counselor. Look at his counsel. Look at verse 18. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. The Holy Spirit didn't tie this together in my mind till this afternoon. But if you think about the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible said that our works are going to be tried so as by fire. Is that right? And the Bible said that some of our works are going to be like wood and hay and stubble. By the way, that's the judgment of the believer's works. That has nothing to do with the unbeliever. That's the believer. That's his service. And it's going to be judged and tried so as by fire at the judgment seat of Christ. The unbeliever is going to be tried at the great white throne judgment. And I believe we're going to be rewarded according to our works, or we're going to lose reward according to our works. And what John is saying here, he said, listen, God, he's saying, Jesus is saying through John, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. In other words, what God is telling the church at Laodicea, what you're depending on, your wealth. Remember, they were the financial capital. Amen. They had it all together financially. But he was saying, hey, what you're depending on is temporal. What you're depending on is going to perish. Why don't you get something from me that's eternal and that'll stand the test of the fire? That's what God is saying. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, we need to understand God doesn't only know what we do. I know thy works, but God knows why we do it. Can I say this to you? And I say it in love. It goes for the pastor. It goes for the pew. It is possible to do exactly the right thing for the wrong reason. And I believe, listen, that'll never receive a reward in the day of judgment. Amen. God wants us to do the right thing. But God wants us to do it for the right reason. God wants us to do it because we love Him. God wants us to do it because we love others. Amen. Our counselor. He said, here, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. He's saying, this counselor, the Lord Jesus, is saying to this church, without me you're naked. Without me you're ashamed. Without me, my friend, your nakedness is going to appear. And without me you're unclothed. And without me you cannot be clothed. And the counselor is telling us tonight that he wants to help us. His counsel is, buy me gold tried in the fire. Do what's right. Do it for the right reason. Do it because you're my child and you have the righteousness of Christ in your life. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. God wants us to be right, not just on the outside, but God wants us to be right on the inside. Years ago, I was watching Brother Jerry Falwell's TV program, and I'm not going to go into all that, but I'm just telling a story. Years ago, I was watching the program, and he had a man on there by the name of David Ring. Has anybody ever heard Brother David preach? He had cerebral palsy. And I'll never forget the message that I heard. I've heard several, but the one that really stuck in my mind, illustrations really stick in your mind. And I would say to all of our Sunday school teachers, anytime you can illustrate something, especially for young'uns. It might stick a lot longer if you can help them to understand the story or illustrate it. Brother David was preaching, and he had on a suit, looked a whole lot like what I'm wearing tonight. I think it's blue, isn't it? Dark blue. Amen. It's not blue. I'm telling you what's the truth. Brother, I'm going to get me something and throw it at you if you don't straighten up. Amen. But Brother David had on that suit, and he was preaching on this subject. I'm not okay, and you're not okay. That's what he called his message. Anybody remember it? I'm not okay, and you're not okay. And he started off his message. He said, we say to one another, how you doing, Brother? I'm doing okay. I'm doing pretty good. I like my dad's answer when somebody asks him how he's doing. He'll say, I'm doing better than I deserve. Boy, I like that answer. You want to know why? Because we deserve hell. And Daddy knows he ain't going to hell. So it don't matter how he's doing better than he deserves. Amen. Brother David, he got to preaching and talking about how that we put on sometimes a facade. And we want to look okay. Amen. But he said down on the inside, sometimes we're not okay. And I remember he pulled his jacket off and his sleeves were shredded underneath of his coat. They were literally shredded. He said, you know, that's the way it is with us sometimes. We look good on the outside, but we're shredded down on the inside. He kicked his shoe off, and he had took a pair of scissors, looked like cut half his sock off, and whole half of his foot was sticking out. He said, oh, yeah, I look okay on the outside. He said, but inside, underneath. And I say to you tonight, God knows what we look like on the outside. But I tell you tonight, God knows what we look like on the inside. God doesn't only know what we do, but God knows why we do it. Amen. He knows whether we do it to be seen of men or because it's the right thing to do and be right with God. See, in real revival, we see our condition, but we need to see our counselor. We need to notice his counselor, his counsel. Second thing we need to notice about our counsel is his compassion. Boy, I like this. You say, preacher, what is compassion? Here's the easiest way I know to define it. It's love in action. That's what compassion is. Amen. The Bible said, love not in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. If somebody's hungry, you don't just say, be you warmed and filled. Amen. You give them something to eat. Amen. Oh, you say, preacher, you'd say that after what you said this morning? I said, somebody. Amen. That fits this Bible description. Amen. Yes, we ought to help them. Amen. Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always. That's what he said. Amen. Everybody's not as well off as we are. We see our condition. But look at his counsel. Look at his compassion. He loves us. His love is in action. You say, preacher, how do you know he loved this church at Laodicea? By the way, you and I ought to shout right here. He loves us even when we're making him sick. You think about that for just a little while. Now catch you at the red light down there at Bloomingdale. Amen. God don't just love us when we're doing the right thing for the right reason. God loves us when we're hot. God loves us when we're cold. And God loves us when we're lukewarm. And thank God he does. God only knows where we'd be tonight if he didn't love us. Let me show you some things right here quickly. I believe will be a blessing to you. Compassion, love in action. He loves us enough, number one, to correct us. Look what the Bible said right here. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I just now caught this. Rebuke, I've often said this. No parent that's worth their salt, the first time that their youngin' does something wrong, jerks them up and gives them a whooping. Hey, then you speak to them. Now, my daddy didn't know about that speaking the second time. And you can get mad at me if you want to, but my daddy never heard a time out. He took his belt off and it was time in. Amen. How many got that? Amen. And daddy didn't say something to you twice. He'd speak to you. And listen, after the time in one time, you knew the next time he spoke to pay attention. Amen. But God loves us. He loves us enough to correct us. And I don't know about you, but I just thank my God tonight. That's one evidence that I belong to him. I'm not going to run from that correction because I know He loves me. And I know He's trying to help me. And I know He wants me to be more like Jesus. And He loves me enough. The Bible said, those I love, I rebuke and chasten. In other words, I'll rebuke you. I'll speak to you. I believe our God's that way. I don't believe He jerks us up, Brother David, the first time. Amen. He may speak to us. By the way, He's long-suffering. Somebody say amen. He may speak to us over and over. But after a while, if we don't heed what He's saying, He will get His bailed out too. Bible said, well, y'all Baptists, y'all believe you get saved and then do whatever you want to do. Well, in a way, I do believe that. But I just believe when you get saved, you want to change. And I do believe, my friend, when you want to go back the old way, there's somebody there that'll whoop you and whoop me because He loves us. Amen. He loves us. I was actually caught up in this. And listen to me carefully. When I first got saved, I was listening to the teaching and listening to the preaching. I got caught up in this, and I really wasn't looking at it right. I'm being honest. How many's ever heard this statement? You need to make Jesus Lord of your life. How many's ever made that statement? Let me tell you something about getting saved. When you got saved, when you got a Savior, you got a Lord. You didn't get the Savior, then come along 10 years later and get a Lord. I'm telling you, when you got saved, beloved, Jesus Christ is Lord, and He became Lord. You say, well, preacher, what if a person is disobedient? Then the Lord of that person's life will chasten them. That's what the Word of God teaches, amen? Why? Because He loves us. Why? Because He loves us. As many as I love, He said, I rebuke and chasten. Let me ask you something. Would you be willing, if that's what it took to have revival, would you be willing? Say amen right there. That's a good question, ain't it? Amen. Would you be willing? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Now, not only does He correct us, watch this, but I thank God He said here, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Not only does He correct us in love, but He calls us in love. I want you to think for a moment tonight where you and I might be. I'm not talking about just calling us to salvation, but I'm talking about His call in our life, even as a child of God. If you and I were left to ourselves for a week or a month or a year, where might we be tonight? Amen. You say, preacher, why would you make a statement like that? Because I tell you, when revival comes, when He starts getting the glory for everything. Amen. When we realize that without Him, I like what one preacher said. He said, without Jesus, he said, I'm a zero with the rim knocked off. Nothing. That's what we are without Him. And so His compassion loves us enough to correct us. He loves us enough to call us. But watch this. He loves us enough to come to us. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I'll come into him. I don't know about you. The Lord taught me this several years ago. I'm not going to argue with you about it, but I don't believe anybody gets saved less than the Lord comes to them. But God showed me something else. I don't believe there's a child of God will ever get right less than the Lord comes to them. The Lord's the only one that can make sin exactly what it is, sin. He's the only one that can, my friend, cause us to quit petting it and quit excusing it and quit saying, well, everybody's doing it, and say, Lord, I've sinned. That's what the prodigal son did. He said, I've sinned against heaven. And he said, I've sinned in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as a servant, a hired servant. I'll tell you something tonight. Our counselor, his counsel, his compassion. He loves us enough to correct us. He loves us enough to call us. He loves us enough to come to us. But watch this. When he says, I'll come into him, this gets good. He doesn't want to just correct us. He's finally getting to what he really wants in the end. He doesn't want to just correct us and just call us and just come to us. What he's really after, Brother Wayne, he wants to commune with us. He said, I'll sup with him and he with me. I'll tell you something right now, there ain't nothing better than supping with the Savior of the world. And that's revival. When you get up a supping and go to bed a supping and eat lunch a supping and eat dinner a supping, say amen. I tell you, when you live like that, that's revival. And that's what he wants in our lives. He wants us to commune with him. I don't know about you tonight, but I believe that's one of the things that's missing in this generation. It's just a quiet time where he can speak to us and we can speak to him. Just the radio's off, the TV's off, just a time to be alone. I'm going to be honest with you. In my life, I can examine my life and I can see times where I didn't enjoy that. Somebody tell me why I didn't enjoy it. Because there was something in my life that I didn't want to have to deal with. See, to have real communion, the walls have to come down. To have real communion, we must confess everything and anything that we know is displeasing in His sight. And must not only just confess it, but He said, be zealous therefore and repent. That means turn away from it. Repentance is not just for sinners. Repentance is for saints too. Amen. The Bible talks about our condition. Talks about our counselor. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. How many knows that we're living in a generation when not many preachers are being called? How many knows we're living in a generation where not many missionaries are being called? Let me tell you something right now. This is just me. I believe they're still being called. You say, preacher, how can you say that? Here's how I can say it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. If he was calling them 50 years ago, he's still calling. You say, well, what's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. Ain't nobody answering the door. He's a knocking. He's a speaking. He's wanting to commune. But we got our own program. We got our own plan. We're going to do our own thing. And by the way, I'm just going to go ahead and say that lots of times it's moms and dads that don't want them to answer the door. They've got this lined out for their son and this lined out for their daughter. And this is what the way they spell success. If you'll read Joshua chapter number 1, that's the only time success is in the Word of God. And it talks about doing the will and the work and the Word of God, whatever He tells us to do. Then you'll have good success. Our condition, it's not easy to see, but with some spiritual eyes have, we can see it. Our counselor, you know, old Moses said, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses had a lot to put up with the children of Israel. Amen. I don't know about you, but I felt sorry for the old boy. Amen. I know it cost him a trip into the promised land, but I know this, God was with him. Let me give you the third thing tonight. I'll just give this to you and we'll be done. Not only do I see in seeing real revival when he anoints our eyes with eye salve, not only do I see our condition and I see our counselor in this scripture, but I see our consummation. He said, preacher, what's that word mean? It means the point at which something is complete or finalized. That's what the word consummation means. I was going to have some fun this morning, Brother Brian. I told Miss Eve going home, you know, if y'all hang around me, I like to alliterate. So I was going to tell the church this morning, you know, over at Laodicea, there was finances and there was fashion. And there was pharmaceuticals, 3 F's, amen. Sounds like it anyway, don't it, amen. Y'all get that. Somebody told me last week, said, this old fella said something about this, going to school, this young and going to school. He said, well, my goodness. He said, them people, they went down there to school, them youngins went down there to school, and they're trying to get that youngin to spell tater with a P. You'll get that after a while, amen. Anyway, Miss Eve said, well, they could have all started with PH. Whatever. Amen. Amen. God is good. Consummation. Things are finalized. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen if we have that eye salve and we can really see? It'll be worth it. What's the goal here? The Bible said in verse 21, to him that overcometh. How many believes we got some flesh to overcome? How many believes we got a world to overcome? How many believes we got an enemy to overcome? How many believes communion is the only way we're going to overcome it? That's why Paul said, I die daily. He said, that's why he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the only chance of coming out on top. He said, now, preacher, you're talking about coming out on top and overcoming in order to be saved? Nope. I'm talking about in order to have a reward. I'm not talking about salvation now. I'm talking about service. I'm talking about revival. I'm talking about where Jesus said, I know thy works. I know thy works. Look in the consummation here. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Let me ask you something. How many like to sit with him? I want you to think about this for just a minute. You remember, was it Peter and John that was wanting to sit with one on his right hand, one on his left hand? I can't remember the story exactly how it goes. Who was it, brother? James and John, okay. The sons of thunder. Zebedee's boys, wasn't it, brother? Amen. Wanting to sit with him in his throne. And Jesus said, that's not mine to give. But you know what I believe after reading this right here? I believe everybody that will see ourselves, see our counselor, amen, see our condition, see our counselor, see in the end, I believe everybody's going to be welcome to sit with him in his throne. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care where I'm at. As long as it's with him. Heaven wouldn't be heaven if it wasn't for him. It doesn't matter to me where I'm at around that throne as long as it's with him. And I believe that should be the way with every child of God. In the end, the consummation, the end, the final thing here, he said, I'll grant him, overcometh, I'll grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And then he finishes with this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let me say this to you tonight. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. I can't see hearts. But I'm not calling our church a Laodicean church. I'm not saying that we're lukewarm, but I am saying this. If I am, I know it and he knows it. And if you are, you know it and he knows it. Remember the preaching, the churches, it's practical. A message to an individual church. It's prophetical, how that it fits the timeline of the church age. But it's also personal. God said, I believe with Walt, he's no respecter of person. I believe he's saying, if the whole outfit wants to leave him out there, one individual can say, Lord, I want you in here. Amen. I want to commune with you. I want to sup with you. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Child of God, I want to encourage you. Take some time this week. I believe the songwriter had it right when he said, take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. How many believes it takes time to be right with God and to commune with God? A preacher said this years ago, and it helped me. He said, happy will be the day in your life when your quiet time ceases to become a time for you and becomes a time for him. That's a blessing, amen. How many can say with Pastor tonight, if your flesh and that devil and this world fights anything, it's that quiet time with Him. How many say amen right there? I mean, you say, why in the world is it fought so hard, preacher? I tell you why. The enemy knows what's come out of it. Revival will come out of it. Somebody will come out of there clean. Somebody will come out of there with a burden. Somebody will come out of there committed to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. God doesn't want us to, my friend, be lukewarm. God wants us to be on fire. I'll preach the message soon after I come here. I don't know exactly when. Entitled, Keep the Fire Burning. How many knows the devil will fight that fire? How many knows the flesh will fight that fire? That flesh don't want to like that fire. And our enemy will fight that fire. How many knows this? Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. How many like to see God give us real, genuine revival this week? I pray for it. Amen. I believe God will. Let's pray together. Father, thank You tonight for the precious Word of God. Thank You, Lord, tonight for the privilege to stand and preach it one more time. Lord, You left us this example of this church in Laodicea. Lord, they had a lot of things going on, a lot of activity, but very little holiness. Oh, God, don't let us be a church like that. Lord, there's more to church than activity. I remember, Lord, years ago when a man said, there's a difference in action and unction. God, we need that unction from the Holy One. We need it in our preaching. We need it in our praying. We need it in our witnessing. We need it in our Bible study time. We need that unction from the Holy One. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that, Lord, that we would look at this church at Laodicea and personally we would say, Lord, deliver me from lukewarmness. Collectively, as a body of Christ, we would say, God, deliver us from lukewarmness. God, I pray tonight, Lord, there's somebody here tonight never been saved. God, they consider their eternal destiny. Lord, I know tonight it's one thing to say something. This church said they were rich. They said they were increased with goods. They said they had need of nothing. But Lord, what they said was not true. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that people would realize many are going to say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many marvelous works in Thy name? Cast out devils in Thy name? Prophesied in Thy name? Only to hear You say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew You. Lord, tonight, help us not to work iniquity. Help us to work righteousness. Lord, the work that You want us to do is not for salvation. It's because of the salvation that You've given to us. Help us tonight, Lord, to be faithful.